like a river, I am delivered and whole. Love soul, saving the sinner, Jesus the giver of hope.
Savior, mercy beside you. I am so glad I came to church today to sit beside you. Thank you very much to our incredible team. Well, as they go this morning, I'm going to jump straight into this because, as per usual, I have prepared way too much for Sunday. It is a norm for me, but that is when I'm usually around and busy at work. This week, I've been on holidays for a whole week. I'm pre-warning you because when you have extra time to prepare, you have extra material to share. So I'm just strapping this morning. We're going to get started really quickly and jump straight into this. But I'm really excited to be sharing in our overarching theme at the moment, Reach Your World. It's a very powerful theme. And this week, we launch for October within that theme, Love Actually, and the concept of love and relationships. And so as we begin to look at that this morning, I'm going to start with one of the most obvious verses when it comes to love in the Word of God. Most of you will actually know this verse, and it is up on the screen for you to follow along. But it is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, and it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, as I was going over this verse, because it's a natural verse to start on when you're going to speak within the theme of love, actually, you go to the love verses. And as I was looking over this verse and what it entails that love is, I discovered that these are very uncommon behaviors in our world today. They're not normal responses. They're not natural responses. They are purposeful decisions to become our behaviors. They are uncommon behaviors. And as I begin to meditate on this thought that love is uncommon in its these behaviors are quite uncommon, I started to actually think, well, if we as the church are to stand out in the world, we need to exhibit uncommon behaviors. It's how we will get noticed as the church, and not for prominence, but to be able to lead Jesus and point people to Jesus. We have to be able to exhibit uncommon behaviors. And so I read this in 1 John 15. It says, do not love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love the world. A love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world is always wanting, 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 and is on its way out. It is dying. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. We have a promise of eternity, an incredible blessing that we are aware of. But for the world to take notice, we have to exhibit some of these uncommon behaviors so that they know which way to go. If we are not going to be of the world, but in it, how do we stand out? It's going to take us doing things differently to build God's house, to build His kingdom. We can't be laid back. We can't be casual about it. This is how the world operates. They think me first when I'm ready in my time. We have to commit as the church to build something, to plant something, to grow something, to make something happen beyond ourselves. So this morning, I'm going to share about something that God revealed to me over these school holidays, a picture through somebody else's life of something that He is challenging me in, and something I would love to share to us as a church this morning for us to be challenged in an uncommon behavior. This came about when the school holidays began. I had this week off, but not the whole first week. I had to work for some of the first week. And when I work on the school holidays, my incredible mother-in-law, who is here in this service this morning, she takes care of my children. And now we already know, if you've been in this church for even half a second, you realize just how incredible this woman is. Graham and I are literally released to do everything we do in our world because of that couple. And they are absolutely phenomenal. But I witnessed something over the holidays that I realized was a common behavior for her that is uncommon in our world. And it just sparked something in me. On the Tuesday of the first week of the school holidays, Morayfield Shopping Center was running a children's thing where you could come into the shopping center and you could build a bear or build a teddy bear for like $12 or something like that. The children could stand in line, they could pick out a teddy bear of their choice, fill it up with stuffing and fill it up with love, and it had a bit of a ceremony to it, and they could pick clothes and then they name it and do a birth certificate. It's a big process and it's pretty fun for a child. What I witnessed was my mother-in-law stand with this entire community in line in Morayfield Shopping Center with every kid who was on school holidays in this area for hours. I popped over and then I popped out. I went to Kmart and then I came back. I went to the bank and I came back. I went to Red Rooster and I got lunch. And then I came back and my mother-in-law was still in the line with seven grandchildren and all of the children from the community waiting to build a bear. And something struck me as I was walking back from getting lunch to see her standing in the line. Something struck me and the Holy Spirit just said, Mel, who are you standing in line for? For she had made a choice. She had volunteered to stand in a line that had no benefit to her world at all. In actual fact, it was taxing. It was at a cost. She stood there for hours and hours with a whole bunch of children who were really irritated at standing for hours. They were frustrated, waiting, everything, for an experience that probably lasted about 5 minutes by the time she got to the head of the line. And in all truthfulness, when it's all finished, the teddy bears are on a shelf in our bedroom, in their bedrooms. It's a moment. But she chose to stand for a very long time in a line, forfeiting and foregoing her own day, what she could have been doing, her own desires and what she could have been doing for an experience for others. And so as the Holy Spirit prompted me, Mel, who are you in line for? I began to meditate on this. For I'd seen her do this countless times. She has stood for 2.5 hours to see a giant pink pig in our shopping center when Peppa Pig came to Morayfield, only to get there and my daughter was too scared to go up. And so she walked away. At the very end, she wouldn't go anywhere near her. This is a behavior I've witnessed for years since I've had children from my mother-in-law. But I actually think it's something that God is wanting to challenge us as a church this morning. Who are we going to stand in line for? Who are we in line for? Who are we taking a place for? Who are you saying, I will stand and save a place for you? I'm going to get in line for you. Who are you in line for? We live in a society that functions by lining up. It is ordered and built on the order of lining up, and most of us hate lining up. We line up for everything. We line up for the supermarket, we line up at the bank, for the doctors, for the takeaway. For most of us, we line up for hours at the beginning and end of our day just in traffic. We line up online, we line up on the phone. And for most of us, it is a point of serious frustration. We don't like to wait and we do not like to line up. A study was done in 2015 that says the average Australian will spend around 2 years of their life in lines waiting. 2 years. Has anybody felt like they've done more than 2 years of waiting? Traffic. 2 years of their line. That's huge. We have to line up. Lining up is a really common behavior. To get in line for what you want or what you need is common. But when God said to me, what are you in line for, Mel? I realized that that's where the uncommon kicks in. that's where something different really kicks in. I had an awareness of this when I became a parent. And for those of you who are in the service who are parents, I'm sure that many of you can identify with me. But when I had my children, I began to volunteer to line up. Not for myself, but for others. It had no benefit whatsoever to me. I got in lines. I got in lines for fun. I got in lines at amusement parks. 45-minute waits. They even put the time on there and go, this is the wait. And I go, okay, I'll do it. For these three children. For extra fun, I volunteered to line up. While they ride other rides, I stood in the line of the long ones so that they would be able to have the experience. I have lined up for hours to see Santa Claus. I've lined up for something that I no longer believe in. But for the experience for my children, I voluntarily put my hand up and I line up. I have lined up for a princess who's not really a princess. She's got no kingdom. She has no authority. She's quite possibly a struggling model trying to make it to the big time, who's been given a dress and slippers and a tiara and a royal wave. And I've lined up for nearly 2 hours to see this princess just to get a photo and a greeting that lasted about 15 seconds. I have lined up voluntarily. I have chosen to line up in the heat. I have chosen to line up for toys I will never play with. I've lined up for food that I will never eat, because something kicks in when you're a parent, and parents here would identify with this. Something kicks in when you're a parent that you choose to get in line for somebody else. It's not just for your selfish needs, but for the needs of others. So who are you in line for, church? Because it's very easy to get out of line when you don't understand who you're in line for. And I believe that we all as a church need a reawakening of our responsibility of who we are in line for. Not just for ourselves, but for the uncommon behavior that the world will notice that we get in line for others. If you read in the Gospels, the account of Jesus' ministry here on earth, when Jesus was going around doing miracles, you will often read these scriptures that say this: and people brought to him those who were sick, and people brought to him those who were lame, and people brought to him those who were demon-possessed, and people brought to him the oppressed. People brought to him. What this is saying is that people went out and found other people and said, look, I know you won't make it on your own. So they'd clearly been there. They knew Jesus was there. But they went out and they searched, saying, look, I know you won't make it on your own, and I know that you can't line up by yourself to see Jesus, but I am willing to get in line for you. I'm willing to stand in line with you. I'm willing to take you to a place where I know that you can get breakthrough and encounter Jesus. They were willing to stand in line for someone else. Do you know how many people are not here this morning because they do not know yet that someone will stand in line for them? They don't know that someone will go out of their way to bring them to a place that will not just change their day, but their destiny. They don't know that there is someone that will say, let me bring you to a place where you can find your answer. Church, we are called to get in line for others. It's not like God has some queuing system. He doesn't have a heavenly, take a number, you're next. But there is this sense that comes from his word that we are to come before him with prayer and petition. We've got to come and wait before him. Come and wait before him for others. That we are to come and seek until we find the answers. We are going to come and knock until we have received the door open. There is this coming to him and a waiting, a believing for him, and making a line before the throne of God and saying, I will bring you before this throne. I have an answer. Follow me. It's easy to come to God for your own needs. That's actually really common behavior. People who don't even know Christ as their Savior call out to him in times of help. In times of strife, God help me. But it's a very uncommon behavior when something happens in you, like it happened to me when I became a parent, that I volunteer to get in line for the needs of others. That you actually want to get in line for somebody else and see their breakthrough. The house of God is a place where you must constantly challenge yourself. Who am I in line for? Who am I working all of these hours for? Who am I giving this finance for? Who am I giving my time for when I serve? Who am I going out of my way for when nobody is watching? Even if the answers all come back to your own address, then my challenge to you this morning, church, is that God has more children than just the ones within your home. God has more people he needs reaching, more people than the favorites list on your phone. God has people that he needs his church to say, I am willing to get in line for you. We recently visited Dreamworld as a family a couple of months ago, and I noticed something really specific when we went to Dreamworld. Dreamworld has two types of lines. Don't know if you know this, but they have your general lineup for any ride, any food, any anything. They have a general line, and most people stand in the general line, but they also have what they call a solo rider line. It's a line that if you are legitimately there at Dreamworld riding alone, you can use this one. Or it's also a lane for people who are happy to ditch their family and friends and ride the ride faster. And really what they're saying is, I would rather ride the ride than ride it with you. That is what the solo rider line looks like. And to be honest, when I was there, I watched more people in the second frame of mine riding the solo rider line than in the first. So, and as I watched this, I actually watched a young man. We were standing at one of the Kung Fu Panda rides, and we were in line. I wasn't going to ride it. My children were going to ride it. So we were in line, and I watched a young man whose family was just in front of us because they would kind of high-five every time he went past and whatever. But he rode the ride seven times while we were waiting to ride it before we got on. Now, this ride is a little bit of like a helicopter thing, and the helicopters can go upside down. They can spin really fast and all of this. It's quite an exciting ride for children. But what I noticed was something specific. He'd ridden the ride seven times, and when he was running back around to get back into the solo line, his tummy was obviously not dealing with seven times doing the ride in a short space of time. And so he vomited into the garden right beside the entrance of the ride. And I, in my head, naturally wanted to go, serves you right. But spiritually, as I think about this concept, and if we actually moved this into the spiritual and out of the natural, obviously it can be a very natural thing to selfishly take that solo ride when you have people to do it with. But as I looked at this, I kind of thought, we can often be like this. We can solo ride our Christian life. But we will get to a point when God will want to throw us up. Because it's not the way he has called us to live our Christian life. It's not doing the life he's called us to do. And although you might get your thrill quickly and maybe even get your money's worth, it's not the behavior that God wants for his house or his people. He has called us to uncommon behavior. This is an uncommon behavior that I'm appealing to us to have in our house today. And as I'm sharing this morning, I'm going to ask you to be rolling around in your mind, who am I in line for? Ask that of yourself now. And as we continue on in this preach, who am I in line for? Because we're going to respond at the end of this. I'm going to ask you to have a think now. Who am I in line for? You know, I came to my answer as I was meditating on this week, as I had some time to do so. And I realized I'm in line for this church. I lay awake at night for this church. I'm writing messages, making future plans, future events that create moments in which you can invite people out to encounter and meet Jesus for the first time. I'm in line for the future leaders and worshipers of this house. I'm in line for the teams that I serve alongside of who are growing in their discipleship. I'm in line for this community and for this city of Brisbane, and I'm in line for where we will go as City Point Church, as far as that reaches. I'm in line for this church. Because of it, it is shaping the way I do my life. It is shaping the way Graham and I do our lives. But that's me. And so who are you in line for this morning? Because it will shape the way you do your life. I have three really quick points this morning. as we rush through this, because I always over-prepare. But I want to suggest something as we roll around in this concept, who am I in line for? There are three key parts to this. And so I want to touch on each of them really quickly. And so the first thing that I want to suggest that is our job in who am I in line for is, are you willing to start a line? Starting a line. Have you ever been to the supermarket and you've got your trolley all loaded up and you head up to the grocery counters, you know, the checkouts? And have you ever played the game I play every time? Which is the fastest line? Does anybody else do that? You're guessing which is the fastest lane to go through. It's something that most of us actually do, and that the point of frustration for me is I always choose the wrong line. Always. I will choose the shortest one, the one that looks like it's really efficient. And I'm usually met by things like, you know, you're almost near the end and then the person at the end starts doing that, oh no, where's my wallet dance, you know? And you're like, oh gosh, now they're going to have to run out to their car, and you're delayed. Or a really common one that always happens to me is that I am the next one to be served and the person in front of me says, I think that item in my shopping is cheaper. Can you do a price check? Oh, now the lane beside me has had 12 people go through, boom, boom, and I'm standing there waiting for somebody to save 60 cents on noodles, you know, something crazy. I always pick the slow lane. I never accurately get the fast lane. But do you know what I've discovered? If you are willing and you are brave, and you are courageous, you can start a line. For about 2 years now, much to my children's embarrassment, I have been willing to make my way to the service desk with my trolley and say, excuse me, could we start a line? You chuckle, but I do it all the time. All of the checkouts seem to be quite full. Is there a possibility we could open a new checkout and get all of these people served? And do you know what? My kids, who are dying of embarrassment that their mum always goes to the service desk and asks for a new lane, might be dying of embarrassment, but I can hear the people behind me going, yes, she's our champion. Ah! Why? Because they're all going to get served now. It's going to become faster. There is something that happens when we create a line, when we start a line. People get served. People get moved through. People get activated. People get operating in what they're supposed to do because we were willing to start a line. We are in the business of moving people through things and opening opportunities up so that we, when we open lines, to call forward people who have no idea that people would be willing to open or start a line for them. People who have said, I have no one to start a line for me, who can't have a line started for them. We are in that business. This is an uncommon behavior in our world, and it's our job to start lines. It's not easy to start lines, to be honest. It wasn't easy when I first walked to the service desk. I thought I would be met with opposition. Funnily enough, I never have yet. Go with kindness. It's always met with kindness. But it will face opposition when you start lines. There is a story in Matthew 15:21, and in this story you read about opposition when starting lines. It's a crazy one. It's a story that when you read the Bible, you go, surely not. What? This is crazy behavior, Jesus. The passage is going to be up on the screen, but this woman in this passage, she comes to Jesus, and she came to Jesus because she needed to start a line. And at times in our lives, we have to have the courage to start a line for others who cannot start a line themselves. It says that this woman came to Jesus. This woman came and Jesus had withdrawn, and a Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him and cried out, Lord, son of mercy, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon possessed and is suffering terribly. And it says Jesus did not say a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, like my kids at the grocery store, send her away. No, mom. No, mom. The disciples said, send her away, for she keeps crying out to us. Send her away. She's creating a fuss. Send her away. She's embarrassing us. She's asking us to deal with this situation, Jesus. Send her away. And so he answered her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And so this woman came and she knelt before him and she said, Lord, help me. Okay, so this is the crazy part of the story. If you've ever read to the next verse, you go, what? Jesus? Did you really say that? Jesus replies, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. What? Let me tell you what my reaction would have been in that moment. If my hands are tied behind my back and I'm not karate chopping hardcore. You just called me a dog? Really? I would have been felt insulted and offended, but she does none of that. He's literally just called her a dog. Just putting it out there for no, if you haven't caught it yet. And what she does, she says, she doesn't get cross, she doesn't get mad, she doesn't get offended, she doesn't leave the church, she doesn't do what everybody else would naturally do, common behavior. She says, oh Lord, I know I get it. What? Oh Lord, I know I get it. Because what he was saying is that he had a line that he'd been sent to deal with. And this line begins with the Jewish people and Israel, people of Israel. He is saying that I have a line that I have to tend to in order to fill the mission on my life. I have a line that I'm ordained by heaven itself to make sure that I do the business that God has called me to do. And so what he is saying, I have to take care of my line that God has asked me to take care of. But she is not deterred. She is not deterred. And so she says, I know, Lord. Yes, it is, Lord. Because she's got to start a line. Her daughter is sick. She needs a line opened. She's going to be persistent. She says, I know, Lord. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs, Lord, eat the crumbs from the master's table. She's saying, I don't really care what you give me, but I'm staying here until you open a new line, Jesus. Because I want to start a line for my daughter. And do you know that in that moment, she didn't just start a line for her daughter. In that moment, in the Word of God, she started a line for us. For each and every one of us. This woman who could have walked away offended, who could have gone, I cannot believe that he said that. She could have been that, but she didn't. She stayed and said, I will take whatever I can get to start a line for my daughter. And so Jesus says to her, woman, you have such great faith. Your request has been granted. And at that moment, her daughter was healed. Jesus loves it when we start a line. This woman came, though she knew Jesus was not called to serve her or to speak with her. She came and she interrupted him. And she asked him, would you start a line for my daughter? I'm asking that you would go beyond your line and at least give me a crumb. I will take anything because I have this conviction in my heart that today you will heal my daughter if I start a line. We are called to start lines, church. Some of you in this house today are called to start lines for all sorts of things. Maybe it's single parents. You have a passion for looking out for taking care of, for building and equipping families who have single parents. For some of you, it is for our preteens. Kids moving from childhood through to their teenage years, and there is something burning inside of you, and it is a burning, and it is there because you are to start a line for that generation. For some of you, it is for our elderly in this community, a community of people who feel like it's finished and they're just waiting. But it's not, because somebody here will be receiving a word of God this morning to say, start a line. Start a line, begin to reach, begin to encourage, begin to build up, begin to activate, begin a line in this generation of people. We are to start a line. We're to start a line for the broken. We're to start a line for the hopeless. We're to start a line for the homeless. Whatever it is that tugs on your heart, let it activate you to start new lines this morning. For that is an uncommon behavior. Can I say that some of our lives can get very boring at times because we're not standing in line with others? I mean, as many times as you want to ride as the solo rider, it's pretty boring. It's not as fun when you can't laugh or scream with somebody on the adventure. It's not as fun when you just experience it alone, because part of that experience is missing when you do it alone. And God has called us not to do a solo rider type of Christian faith. He has called us to have the full experience done together. When you bring that person to church who puts their hand up and says yes to Jesus, that's huge. You wouldn't be able to stop the tears running down your face because you were willing to start a line that led them before the throne of God. And he reached out and he took hold of their life. You started a line. You started a life. It changes an eternity. If you want a life that is exciting, then continually remind yourself, who am I in line for? Who do I need to start a line for? The second thing I want to urge us to do this morning that is an uncommon behavior is to stay in line. Stay in line. We are sometimes great at starting lines, but not so great at staying in line. When it starts getting tough, we can tend to step out of line. I'm gonna start a life group, but then it's hard work. And so a year later, we're just letting it fizzle out in the background. It didn't work out as you thought. It wasn't as exciting as you thought it would be at this stage. It was more hard work than you thought. No, we need to be a people who are willing to stay in line. People who are gonna hold their ground. People who will make sure that they are not distracted by all the things that are coming to knock them out of the line. Stay in line. Ride it past the awkward. Ride it past the uncomfortable. Past those things you have to battle with. Ride it past tiredness and unmet expectations. Ride it past the obstacles. Church, stay in line. Stay in line. When you stay in line, things happen that can absolutely infuriate you. The number one thing that infuriates me when I'm in line is queue jumpers. You know those people who don't wait in the line. It often happens in a food court because there is like an unwritten line. You know, everybody is standing, but you kind of know, I was here before that person, but that person came after me. And you've got a natural line going off in your head. But what always happens at the food court is somebody walks straight up. Who was next? Queue jumpers. It's one of the most infuriating things about standing in line. But did you know that there's a queue jumper in the Bible? Yeah, Jesus covers everything. There is a queue jumper in the Bible, and I want to point this out because there is something in this. There is something in this. There is a queue jumper in the Bible, and I want to bring this up because there was an opportunity for someone to step out of the line because they didn't like the queue jumper experience. There was a guy in the Bible, the text will be up on the screen, but his name was Jairus, and he went to get in line for his daughter. His daughter that was 12 years of age, she had an illness that was taking her life. So Jairus got in line for his daughter. He created a line for his daughter. He lined up in Luke 8:41, if you'd like to follow along. And it says, he got in line and there was a crowd pushing. And Jairus somehow got to the front of the line and he got to Jesus' feet and he said, my daughter is only 12 years old and she is dying. She is suddenly dying. This is happening right now. But he's made it to the front of the line. He is speaking to Jesus, all right? And so Jesus says, okay, I'm going to see you. I'm going to come with you and see your daughter. But while they were on their way, there came a queue jumper. It was a woman with an issue of blood, and she didn't line up like everybody else. In fact, she crawled on her hands and her knees through the crowd. And she got hold of the back of Jesus' robes and it got Jesus' attention and he stopped. So just as Jairus thought, it's my turn in line with Jesus. I've made it to the front of the queue. This woman comes out of nowhere. Suddenly this woman comes out and now Jesus goes to speak to the woman who has just been healed from touching him. And he goes to bless her and spend a moment with her. But while he does that, news comes to Jairus, and they say to Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore because your daughter is dead. You know, it's at that point when someone gets the blessing that we thought we should have, when someone gets the promotion that we thought we should have, when somebody is given the financial miracle, when someone seems to get everything you thought should be yours, that's when we step out of the line. Jairus was so close to his miracle. And then this woman from nowhere comes along and Jesus decides to pause and heal her and bless her. And while he does, his child dies. The people around him say, Jairus, forget it. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Get out of the line. Let's go home. Go home and be with your wife. See, Jesus' way of dealing with the line is so entirely different to the perspective we have than dealing with the line. Jairus was in line for his daughter. She had someone to start a line for her. Somebody willing to create a line for her, but no one was willing to get in line for this woman. She had to get in herself. And Jairus' daughter at 12 was dying, but this woman for 12 years had been dying. Sometimes we don't see the perspective that God sees. That's why you just have to stay in the line and let God be God instead of you telling God who he needs to deal with next. You know, some of you used to serve passionately in the house of God, but you got out of line because you felt overlooked, or you felt that nobody really believed in you. You didn't get what you thought. It doesn't look like now what you thought it would be like. Maybe you've had a word over your life that you've not yet seen to fruition, but you've rolled your mat up and you've got out of line and you've walked away. And yet you still might sit here today. I'm going to say it's an uncommon behavior to stay in line. But I'm going to challenge you this morning. Stay in line, church. Be brave enough and courageous enough to stay in line. And so as the company with Jairus said to him, come out of line. Let's go home. There's no point asking anymore. There's no point seeking the teacher anymore. It says that Jesus turns to Jairus and says, don't you dare. Stay in the line. Don't get out of the line. She is not dead. She is just sleeping. And I'm coming to see her. Had he left the line when he was first told, Jairus would have never heard those words and he would have gone home to a dead daughter. But he didn't. Jairus went home to a miracle. God is interested in everybody getting their miracle. Had he stepped out of the line, he would have not got his miracle, but he stayed in the line and he got his miracle, but so did the woman. So did the woman. Sometimes it will be you at the front of the queue, but sometimes it will be somebody else at the front of the queue. But when you trust that God is in charge of the line, you'll stay in the line. Time is gone this morning. I can see that. It always happens when I'm up here. But I've got one final point as the band comes this morning that I think is really important in this series of who are you in line for. And that this morning is the last job that we have in this, and it's to get people across the line. There is something uncommon about the behavior of not crossing the line yourself first and only, but being willing to help others across the line. And so that is my point three this morning, across the line. You know, there was this guy in John 5 that sat by a pool for over 30 years. It was a healing pool. And when the pool was stirred, miraculous healing power would happen and whoever was in the pool would receive their miracle. But he had sat there for over 30 years. And the Bible tells of this guy, he was sick, he was blind, he was lame, he was crippled. And he sat right at the edge of the pool. And I love this because he's right there, right on the edge of his breakthrough, right where the miracle could take place. And Jesus says to him, when Jesus comes, he says, what's the problem? Don't you want to get well? What's the problem? Why haven't you made your way? You've been here for 30 years, right on the edge of your miracle. What's the problem? Don't you want to get well? And the man says to Jesus these words, and this struck me. There's no one to help me into the water. There is no one to help me into the water. He's right on the edge. There's got to be hundreds of people there. This is a place of healing. I'm sure it's got some attraction to it. There would have been others there. But there is nobody, he says, that would help me into the waters. Do you know how many people are on the edge? And if they were just asked why they've not said yes to Jesus, why have they not committed their life? What's the problem? Many would say, because there is no one willing to show me the way. I just need somebody to help me get across the line, across this obstacle. Would they walk with me across the line? We are here not just to stand in line, but to help push people across the line, church. We are here not just to be friends with the world. We are here to push them into an eternal life. We are not just here to have mates who do not know Jesus. We are here because we are to introduce them to our Jesus. We are not just here to have an okay life. We are here to have an abundant life. And when you want to live like that, you will be willing to walk others across the line. In a world that competes and strives to be first and best, it is an uncommon behavior to help others across the line. And so today, my challenge to you is, will you help others cross the line? It's easy to say, I'm in line for my family. It is for me. I'm in line for my family. I'm in line for my kids, for my marriage, for my husband. But it's got to go beyond that. Because how do we ever reach a world if we're only looking within our four walls? And so today, my challenge to you is, will you help others cross the line? I'm asking you, as part of this house this morning, who are you in line for? I hope you've been thinking on that as I've been sharing this morning. Who are you in line for? Because that is getting, when you get in line for somebody else, it is an uncommon behavior. Where are you investing your finance? Because that's when you're getting in line for someone else. Well, I don't know if I can serve because I don't get anything from it. Exactly. Exactly. Serving is getting in line for someone else. But every time I do it, I get something out of it. When I serve, when I give, when I get in line for somebody else, there's a joy and a reward and a blessing that comes from uncommon behavior, church. I'm going to ask each of us this morning to consider what I've shared in a really practical way. It's going to ask you to close your eyes right now. But I think that this message evokes something to be able to actually make a practical move on this, not just where I go, yeah, I agree with that, Pastor Mel. I think that that's awesome. And yeah, we should be for others. But I'm going to ask this morning for us to actually consider, who am I standing in line for? And so I'm going to ask us that we make a courageous choice this morning to not just do this in our spirits or our minds, but we're going to do it in the natural this morning. And so if you feel led to make one or all of these areas a priority that I've spoken about, these uncommon behaviors, part of your everyday life from this moment today, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as I list them out. I'm going to do it shortly, but I'm going to ask you to think right now. Just be thinking on it, on what I've shared. We're going to make a declaration this morning at City Point North that we are going to be known as a church who stands in line for others. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, as everybody's got their eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, would you stand this morning to stand in line for someone else? Will you be one to commit to get in line for someone else this morning? If you are willing to do that, would I ask you to boldly stand to your feet right where you stand this morning? If you are willing to stand in line or get in line for someone else, will you be courageous this morning to start a line for someone, to start a line for a group of people? Would you be willing to ask the courageous prayer of God this morning? Who is it that you would like me to create a line for? If that is something that has been stirred within you this morning as I've shared, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. Right where you are this morning. Maybe this morning you, however, have struggled with staying in line. It's got tough. It's had obstacles. This morning, if you are making a declaration, I am going to stay in line. Regardless of what I face in this moment, I'm going to stay in line. Why don't you just stand to your feet right now? Nobody's looking around. Stand to your feet. And finally, for those who choose to help others cross the line, not just thinking yourself, but going, I am going to make my life about seeing others cross the line. Why don't you stand to your feet right now? There are people standing all over this house. How incredible. We're going to make a declaration this morning, church, in this beautiful atmosphere in the presence of God. We're going to declare something this morning. And so I'm going to ask you to repeat after me as we declare that City Point North is going to be people known for standing in line for others. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that this word will go deep into my spirit. And I declare this morning, I will be known for standing in line for others. I will take the challenge to create a line for those who need it. And I commit to staying in line so that people will cross the line. Father, I pray right now of this incredible church. I thank you, Lord God, for the declaration made in hearts and spirits by word and by standing this morning. And we declare that this house, City Point North, will be known for its uncommon behaviors. A church and a people who will look out and look at others, be willing to stand in the gap for others and make an impact in this community for good and for God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise in this house.